Tawakkul comes from the root word wakala. Wakala means...
Today, I'd like to read to you an excerpt from...
Allah is the unique Arabic name.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. His decree, though, we learn...
This is Foresight, a program on how to worship Allah. Today's great tip, what happens when one continuously performs ubudiyah for the sake of Allah with sincerity and that ubudiyah is accepted by the Almighty Allah? So, dear listeners, it's an honor to have you with us. We are talking about what happens when our ubudiyah, our servitude, our worship, and our obedience to the Almighty Allah is done with sincerity and it is accepted by the Almighty Allah. Now, of course, there are many different factors and many different measures that have been given to us by the Urafa, have been given to us by the spiritual wayfarers and the masters of spiritual wayfaring. Of course, the ultimate goal of this spiritual wayfaring is the nearness to the Almighty Allah. It is the closeness to the Almighty Allah. As we find that in all of our worship and all of our ubudiyah, our service, our obedience, and our worship and our servitude to the Almighty Allah, we say qurbatan ilallah, qurb meaning nearness. We want to gain nearness to the Almighty Allah. Now, despite there being many different measures and gauges about whether to a certain extent we realize that our worship is being accepted, of course, at the end of the day, we have traditions which tell us to never be 100% certain that our obedience and our worship is being accepted, because very well we could find that there was some sort of hidden riya, a hidden showing off within our worship, or there was an insincerity in our worship, or there was some other thing which corrupted, and tainted our worship, and because of that, our worship turns to be of no benefit and no use. But at the same time, we should be able to see certain signs within ourselves if our worship and our ubudiyah is being accepted or is being done in the right way. So for example, just to make things a little bit clear before we continue, the Holy Quran says that the salah surely keeps one away from profanity and lewdness and promiscuity and these kind of things. And so then we say, well, I do the salat, you know, every day, five times a day, and at the same time I do the mustahab and the nawafil, you know, I'm doing the supurgatory prayers as well. And for some reason, I'm not able to remove lewdness and promiscuity and profanity from myself. Now, this does not mean that the Quran is wrong. Of course, the Quran is the perfect word of God. There is no way that it can ever be wrong. So what's going on here? Well, again, we have been taught by the teachers of spiritual wayfaring that the reason the profanity, or one of the reasons that the profanity or the lewdness or the promiscuity is still there, is because the salat that is being done is not being done in its proper form. And so because the salat is not being done in its proper form, then that prayer and that salat is not having the proper benefits or the proper effects that it should be having. So the Holy Quran itself shows us a measure, or it gives us a gauge in which we can figure out whether our prayers are being answered or our worship is being accepted or not. Another one of those things that have been taught to us as a gauge or a measure is this idea that when we begin to do our ubudiyah in a very deep manner, in a focused manner, with sincerity, with purity, and it starts to have an effect. One of the effects is that we will have a very deep internal mechanism which will prevent us from wanting to commit sin. Now, again, this is not a process that happens overnight. It takes years. It takes practice. You know, you make mistakes, you slip, you fall, you get up, you continue to do, you know, the different acts of ubudiyah in order to attain a ultimate form of ubudiyah. But of course, internally, a mechanism is created which begins to forbid us and prevent us from wanting to commit sins. We continue after the break. شربنا على فكري حبيبي مودة متى ساكرنا بها من قبل لأن يخلق الكرم.
IRIB English Radio.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
And now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
The first reminder, brothers and sisters, that we want to get is a reminder about ikhlas in our actions. Ikhlas in our action. Very important, brothers and sisters, for those like yourselves who want to do good work for the Imam of the time, who want to be those special servants of the Imam of the time. How much ikhlas do you and I have? And I start with myself as a reminder. How much ikhlas do I have in my actions? When the Imam's looking at our hearts, you and I, brothers and sisters, right now, in our presence here, and what we do in our social lives, whether we're dealing with family, friends, politics, how much ikhlas and sincerity and selflessness does God see in our actions? How much, when we're doing Islamic work, is it about our organizations and the name of our organization? If I'm, let's say in my family, when I do something, when I do my part in the relationship, how much am I doing what my responsibility is in the house only for the sake of God and not for the sake of the people, not for worldly results? And then there's higher levels of akhlas that inshallah we can get to, higher levels where I'm not even seeking Jannah, but rather Ridwanullah Akbar. There are higher levels of ikhlas also. Now those I can't discuss because, I mean, if I make it into paradise, I've done a big thing. I would love to be searching for and seeking for Ridwanullah, the pleasure of God. Inshallah, Allah grants that to all of us. But even if we can get to that first stage, that there is no worldly desire in the efforts that we make, even the Islamic efforts that we make, even when we're involved with organizations, how much of it is purely for God? Allah has some ahadith that are a little bit difficult. A little bit difficult. Let's listen to one hadith. This is hadith Qudsi, and it's from Imam As-Sadiq, right? Because all of us, you and I, we're looking for results for our actions. It wouldn't do us any good that we're mu'mineen. We've denied ourselves the good of this world, hoping and praying that God accepts our actions. And on the outward, it seemed like a lot of good actions. But then God, when He looks in our hearts, He doesn't see ikhlas in our actions and He rejects. Okay? So let's listen to the hadith, hadith Qudsi. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says, Ana khayru sharik. God says, I am the best partner. This is a scary one though. I am the best partner. Ana khayru sharik. Faman amila li wa li ghayri. So whoever does some good in action, piety, taqwa, in action, for me and other than me. Man amila li wa li ghayri. Fahuwa liman amilahu ghayri. If that's the case, I give whatever you've done, whatever we've done, if it's a little bit of less than God in it, I give it to the other person.
Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah.
Ya Allah, ya Mannan, haqqiq
amani. IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.ir.
Ya Allah, ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an fi ma sa'ina. Ya Allah, ya Mannan, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an fi ma sa'ina. أجب دعائي يا رجائي بالرضا والخير، أنر طريقي مع صديقي باحترام الغير.
يا الله يا رحمن حقق أمانينا، وفقنا في كل آن في مسائنا.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So we are continuing what we were talking about, which was this idea that there should be some sort of gauge or some sort of measure in trying to figure out whether our worship and our ubudiyah is really being accepted and is it giving us the end results that we want. Now, as we were talking about in the previous segment, of course, that a mechanism is created within ourselves which prevent us and forbids us from committing sin. And so when our ubudiyah, as we had said in the title, is done with sincerity, it is done with purity, and it is being accepted, you know, there are certain effects which can be seen. We had talked about the prayers in the salah and how the Quran says that the salat has its own effects. Another one of the things, of course, we had said was this mechanism, which we are talking about now in the second segment as well. Now, this mechanism, which I call a mechanism, is a mechanism which, of course, it begins to prevent us from committing sins. This is one of the results of an ubudiyah that is being accepted and an ubudiyah that is having an effect. Again, we want to repeat what we said in the last segment, which was we can never be 100% fully sure that it is being accepted. But in the minimum or at the least, we can know that whether it's having a positive effect or a negative effect. Right? So one of the positive effects is, again, this mechanism. Now, this mechanism is like this torch which becomes lighted in one's heart, right? And of course, this light helps one to be able to be guided towards this, invisible metaphysical world of spiritual wayfaring and the higher levels of ubudiyah, right? It helps us to differentiate between right and wrong. And yes, in every single one of us, this is called the inner prophet or the Rasul, the messenger that is in the batin, it is in the inside that guides one between right and wrong. Now, on a very base level, this can be a very simple messenger, you know, that can tell us that lying is wrong, stealing is wrong, murder is wrong, theft is wrong, cheating is wrong, you know. But then it gets to higher levels, and of course, the more ubudiyah that is conducted by an individual, the stronger this messenger becomes. Of course, in order to be able to differentiate between right and wrong at the higher levels of spirituality. It is interesting, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says that it is easy to be able to differentiate between right and wrong. It is much more difficult, and of course the work of an individual who is much purer, who is closer to the Almighty Allah, and that work is to be able to differentiate between two rights and two wrongs. Which one of the two rights has priority, and which one of the two wrongs is the worst one, which must not be committed. So what we were saying was that this torch is lighted in one's heart, and then this light, which we had said is like this mechanism, it guides one to be able to differentiate between right and wrong. And this is also known as this inner messenger, a divine preventer, and this prevents an individual from committing disobedience. Once an individual is able to gauge between right and wrong, of course, this ubudiyah and this nearness to the Almighty Allah will very logically prevent an individual from disobeying that very Almighty Allah who we are trying to worship and be of servitude to and be in obedience to in our ubudiyah. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
وملاذي أحتمي بحما حسبنا الله.